Hello, it's Anthony Chadwick from the Webinar Vet here, welcoming you to another episode of Vet Chat, the UK's number one veterinary podcast. And I'm thrilled today to have Louise Toll on the line with us. Louise is a media superstar. We'll talk about that a bit more later, but recently been on the UK's top entrepreneurial program, which is called Dragon's Den. If you're listening in from America, it's like Shark Tank. And Louise has just been on the program. We'll be talking about that later, but wanted to talk today about this novel product that you've developed, Louise, which is called Fur Boost. But before we go into Fur Boost, before we go into Dragon's Den, it'd be lovely if you could introduce yourselves to the audience and just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you've come on this journey to create this novel product.
So, yeah, my name is Louise Toll. I am the owner and founder of Fur Boost. The idea of Fur Boost is it's a hydration drink for dogs with added functionality. And the way that the drink has come about is from my food background. So by training, I am a food technologist and scientist. I've spent 20 years in the food industry working in mainly manufacturing and proteins. And my role would have been as a technical manager, so heading up the food safety and the food quality assurance side of things, so making products safe to eat and also consistent. And that's probably the main part and the bulk of my career. And my training was done at Reesheath College in Nantwich. I am from a farming background, so from a dairy farming background. So I have worked with animals or have had animals at the heart of a family business pretty much all my life. So to go into the food industry was a natural sort of step, if you like, for me. And then, 20 years later, I suppose, after starting my career in the food industry, we launched a product called Fur Boost. And Fur Boost came about from the love of a dog. My first own dog, I suppose, in my adult life, called Phoebe, and she's Beagle. And Phoebe, at the age of 18 months, became unwell and figured out with the help of the vet that it was all linked to her food. So the issue that we had was working with a vet. There was markers in a bladder, in a urine. Those markers sort of led us down the investigation of what she's eating. So we quickly changed her diet. She'd still got some markers in her urine. At the time I was working with protein drinks. So in the human side of things, there would be protein sports recovery drinks, meal replacement drinks, any sort of effervescent vitamins. There was also instant coffee and instant hot chocolate also attached to that. So I'd always had a theory about protein and sports recovery drinks. Why are they always whey-based and dairy-based? Because not all people can tolerate, dairy-based products if they've got intolerances. And had a theory about protein. So I suppose had the opportunity to put the theory to the test for the dog. So created a chicken butternut squash and cranberry drink for her because it was in the summer months when I really needed her to drink. She wasn't interested in water. With it being a bladder related issue, felt that was what we needed to flush her system out and got her drinking. And that was what it was about, really. It was just enticing her, using real ingredients, real quality products to get her to drink. And coupled with changing her diet, within 2 weeks, she was a different dog. And I mean different as in, we were stopped to ask what we groom her, what we feed her. We had a dog walker that came in every lunchtime for an hour to take the dogs out. So knew the dogs really well. And she was amazed at how her behaviour had improved. So we put that down to possible cognitive function being better and being more hydrated and listening. And for a beagle at 18 months old, that was pretty miraculous. That was the start of our journey.
No, it's fascinating. And I think presumably the whole kind of history and experience has led you to it because, having worked on dairy farms and obviously worked as a vet with with cattle, scour and problems, huge problem in calves. And the way to treat them is very much to rehydrate them. You don't want them to become dehydrated. Either exactly. You do that through tubing, stomach tubing, or, you know, less likely you put them on intravenous fluids. It's actually just drenches and the like, isn't it? And this is the advantage, I think, if you've got something that's very palatable, particularly with bladder problems, because we know that if they're not getting a lot of wet food, they're more prone to stones, etc. If you can keep their hydration level up, giving them something that's palatable and they want to eat, drink it, then they're going to be a lot better if they're well hydrated, aren't they?
Exactly. And the idea behind it was, there are drinks on the market, but we wanted it, if it was going to be a drink, it had to function as a drink. So the dog had to be really interested in it. So we use whole muscle meat, and we use it at 10% at the mixing bowl stage. And the advantage of that is it's also low purine. So it absolutely helps with those dogs that are prone to stones and things like that. So there's nothing in there that would upset them and their systems. So that was the reasoning behind it. And then we put in the fruit and veg because of the fibres and the added functionality that they bring. So the superpowers of the fruits. And then started looking at the nutraceuticals. It was like, what else can we get in here to make the product an all-round well-being drink? And that was looking at the nutraceuticals. So there's a multiple B vitamin complex in there, which, as we know, they are water soluble. The dogs and humans don't hold on to them. So and when you're sort of in a state of stress or anxiety as a human, they're the first vitamins to be burned. So keeping those topped up seems to be like probably one of the better things that you can do for yourself. And passing that over into the drink and for the dog to give it similar sort of functionality, as well as all the other bits in there. So the idea of the drink is it not only hydrates the dog, it supports digestion, skin and coat, immunity, anxiety, and metabolism. So it does hydrate them, but also it's got that added functionality.
Yeah, and similarly, you know, when I was practicing as a vet and a dog came in with a diarrhea or whatever, we'd put them onto usually a sort of chicken fish type based diet, but at the same time also have them on electrolytes so that we could be encouraging them little and often. You gave them a big meal that would often overface them and they'd throw it back up again. Whereas little and often, you know, with the electrolyte drink, which is obviously how I would equate Fur Boost. And then you can play around with it, giving it in different ways. You can put it on the lick mats, can't you, and turn it into ice cubes and make it just a slightly different way and involve play in them eating it as well, or you know, taking it in.
Yeah, that's it. The idea of the drink is a drink, but people and owners have taken it to a whole new level beyond what the drink was originally designed for. So with the boom in enrichment and the likes of brands like Kong, Licky Mat, Soda Pop, they make some fantastic enrichment toys. And owners have really embraced that because of the stimulation that the dog gets, as well as the downtime as well, because it can probably take about a good hour to clear one of those toys when there's something really tasty in it. Yeah. And then we always say, like, in summer when the temperatures spike, because our temperatures in the UK are so up and down, when the dog is struggling, they're so they're busy concentrating on staying cool, that they often give the water bowl a miss, or mine do anyway. Yeah. So it's a way of adding those fluids into them. And plus with our drink, it can be watered down up to 50%. So for those that are exerting themselves, so the athletic dogs of the world doing canicross, agility, even fly ball, it's a way of getting those fluids into them when they've been exerting themselves, as well as the loss of fluids that you talked about earlier.
I know when I go on my long runs or cycles, more cycles now, I take Gatorade, because again, you need to replenish, don't you? So if you're exercising and you're just taking water, although that helps, it's not nearly as good as taking a really well-balanced electrolyte drink along with you as well, just to stay hydrated. And you know, as you say, if you don't take those fluids, eventually it can have an effect even on your decision making, can't it?
Yeah, that's it. That's right. And that's what Furboost does. It's not an electrolyte drink as such, so it doesn't pass straight into the dog's bloodstream. Yeah. But the nutrition that we have in there does break down into micronutrients. So it does have the same effect, but it's 100% natural. So it takes away, I suppose, that highly processed smell or flavour of everything in its micronutrient state, to have it as more of a tasty treat or a snack. And then the dog's getting all the benefits from it as well once it's digested through their system.
I mean, I sort of encourage you to do the podcast because I suspect, you know, Wagon's Den is available, people are watching it, et cetera, et cetera. They'll come into veterinary practices and be saying, what's this Furboost? But actually it's already out in various practices, but also in the shops in places like Pets at Home, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. We launched in December 2020 and really took off when we could do events after the COVID lockdown.
Yeah.
So in September 2021, we did a number of events and just took off like a rocket. Then we've just grown more and more interest. So Pets at Home, Jollies, which is number two to Pets at Home.
Yeah.
We then enlisted on Amazon, VO Vet. More recently, we've entered the grocery retail sector with B&M. And then we have loads and loads of independents as the pet specialist. Or we've also got then individual small practices as well coming to us.
How did, you know, that whole development of the product is interesting. You've obviously had huge experience as a food scientist, but doing it as a much smaller company, what were the challenges and how did you overcome them in getting this product to market, you know, in a couple of years, basically? You've done amazingly well with it.
Oh, thank you. It's had to be a labour of love because when you're in a big company launching new products, everyone has their place in the business to get that product launched and on shelf. And everybody knows pretty much what they're doing in terms of making that happen. When you're doing it yourself, it's a completely different story because you are the business. You are doing it all from scratch. You know, the making and the designing of the product was the fun bit. And then once we launched, that's when the work really, really did begin. And a lot of time and effort has been spent educating the customer. So because a lot of people don't understand that water actually is probably the biggest macronutrient or the most important macronutrient over food. Water above food, really, because it's important that the animal stays hydrated. And with dog owners, we've had to educate them that hydration is really important. Because, you know, water will get to every living cell in the body and keep it hydrated and functioning. So we've done a lot of work with owners just to educate them, because a lot of owners will put a bowl of water down. They won't monitor. They have no idea how much the dog is drinking. And we always say a good rule of thumb is 50 ml of fluid per 1 kilo body weight. And then that can be more if it's a really hot day and the dog's panting and they're trying to stay cool. Or equally, if they're out and about as well and, you know, they're exerting themselves, if they've been on a good run or they've been doing agility or something like that. So it's just one of those where we've educated people. I suppose we're doing a number of customer or consumer events up and down the country. People are now getting that and they're using it as toppers. We all know the cost of living crisis has hit quite a few people and it's hit them hard in the pocket. So naturally, dog owners are trading up and down in food items. We've been also part of a little upsale because the likes of, say, kibble has probably changed. The dog doesn't want to eat it. They use Furboost as a topper to get the dog then to entice and clear the bowl. So it's also used that way. And I suppose with the education and then all the other little bits that have gone on along our journey, it's actually supported us as a brand to get us off the ground. So there's been a lot of work gone on and a lot of marketing as well to sort of shout about hydration. And now we feel that we are getting quite a bit of ground with it.
And obviously, so it's out there, but obviously not super well known from an awareness perspective. I think going on telly is always a good way of doing that. And I always watch Dragon Den. with my wife, and we go, do you know what? It doesn't matter if they don't get the investment because they're on the program and people know about it. And if they've got a decent product, of course, it's going to do well. So I suppose, first of all, what made you go on Dragon's Den, or did somebody approach you, or what was the process whereby you said, do you know what? We need some money, get some exposure, obviously get one of the dragons who's very, most of them are very good in retail, aren't they? So what was the process there? And then how did it work up to getting on the program? And then maybe as a second one, we'll talk about the program itself in a minute.
Yeah, the process is quite interesting. It's quite short, but intense. So we completed an application form, I think it was the beginning of March last year. And once that application form's completed, we have to do like a mini audition. So we did like an audition tape, I suppose that's what it's called. And I that's probably to gauge how we come across on camera, how we sound. I don't know if there's anything else of there that's interest. And then we had to sort of audition as we were doing our sort of accelerator pitch. Once that was approved, we're on to the next step. And the next step is due diligence. So there's a lot of paperwork involved to obviously make sure that you're a legitimate company, what you say is factual and correct. And then, you know, the A4 lever Archer file was full. That's how much detail goes into it. So anybody that's thinking of going on to the show, absolutely prep and prepare yourself, because they want to know the ins and outs of absolutely everything, including the finances, and they have to be true and correct. Once you get the sign off for that, you're kind of straight into the studio. Yeah. And that was probably the most nerve-wracking bit, because as a business, you're so busy in the day-to-day, didn't really think about Dragon's Den at all. And then we got the call to say, you're in the recording studios, they're based in Manchester, your on-set call time is at 7 o'clock in the morning, and you sort of go through the motions from then. And for me, that's when it hit home. I was just like, oh my God, what am I doing here? It was very surreal.
Yeah.
And it's not something that I suppose you would be 100% comfortable with, but they do make you feel, you know, at home. You're given like a lovely green room. There's other businesses there as well. You've got your own dressing room. So, and then there's a number of bits that and processes which take place before you actually enter the den. And they're all like the little breakout clips that you see. So it's quite an intense process. And yeah, I think I nearly passed out as we stood at the lift doors.
That's why I said media star. You know, you've got your own dressing room. That's when you know you've made it.
Yes, that's it. For me and the dogs.
So obviously it's usually a sort of 10, 15 minute clip at most. But I do remember a number of years ago, I think it was basically the turn of the century, and I got a phone call at my veterinary practice. Will you come on? We're doing a film locally and we need somebody to keep an eye on the animals. So I went down for this film at a farm in Cheshire, and I ended up being a part of the film. It's called My Kingdom, and I play, believe it or not, the dodgy vet at the start. They're importing drugs illegally through cows' rumens, so you've got to sort of put the golf balls into the cows and then get them out, you know, through an operation. And it was amazing. That was a short clip that was 30 seconds, you know, a minute in the film at most, and it took all day to film that. So I can imagine Dragon's Den, although we only see 10, 15 minutes, you're probably standing around a lot longer than that doing the whole pitch.
Yeah, it's we were in the den itself for about 2 hours. Hmm. And it's not as intense as you see it on the TV show, but you go through all the motions, all the questions, it's not as intense as they make out on the TV show, but it's long enough when you're trying to think. Yeah. You know yourself in business, if you're presenting to someone, you've got your notes, you've got everything to hand, all of this you've got to remember, as well as the added pressure of cameras rolling, studio lights, and you're faced with five entrepreneurs or business people who are well known in their own sectors of industry and across TV. So it's a lot to take in. And I think I nearly collapsed when I came out.
Well, I think when you're there for a couple of hours, it's emotionally exhausting by the end of it, isn't it? Because you have been, you know, putting everything into it. So it does take it, it must take it out of you.
Yes, it was a whole morning. It was a full-on morning. There was a lot of waiting around as well, but I think it's that waiting around and the unknown, which was, a bit scary. But I'm delighted that we did it. And I'm glad to say that we faced the dragons and came out fine.
Live to tell the tale.
Yes, that's it. So it's an experience that I can tell, you know, the kids will probably be watching it with us anyway. And then the grandkids as well. So it's one of those, I remember when. but yeah, it's now how we go on from here, really.
Yeah. It's a great publicity, though, isn't it, for you as well? Because many people will see it. And part of the reason of doing the podcast, you know, at my suggestion, was that there will be people coming into the vet practice, going to the vets, you know, what is this all about? So this is an opportunity to really explain. It's, you know, it's not a medicine, but like the products that we've had in the past, rehydration is so important. But you've actually seen all those other benefits with things like just, you know, the coat improving, and obviously even the mental state seeming to improve, which, you know, as we've said, if you're dehydrated, you know, my wife was running the half marathon this weekend, and the number of people she saw collapsing on the prom, just obviously they've not prepared well, they've not drunk, you know, they've not trained well. You have to really watch things like hydration, albeit you can also overhydrate in a marathon. People have passed away because they've drunk too much water, they've not sweated it out, you know, they've not been drinking electrolytes. So there, you can overperfuse as well, but you know, it's a much rarer problem than being dehydrated.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And a dog, I mean, a dog could also go that way. So that's why we have on the back of the pack the feeding guidelines, and we set them down. They're about a third of a dog's daily water intake.
Yeah.
So we are very mindful of that with dog owners, that they don't go down the overhydration as well. The message is really just to common sense. If you don't know, measure it. Just measure how much your dog is drinking.
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to, spoiler alert, just in case people haven't seen the program, we're going to make a little link at the end of this in the notes explaining where people can listen to it on the iPlayer. If you're listening in from another country, I don't know if they go onto YouTube or the different pictures, do they? Are they on YouTube or...?
Yeah, they eventually do make the way onto YouTube. They'll be on the iPlayer initially. And then, yeah, part of our homework was watching YouTube.
Yes, learning how to do it properly. So, yeah, I won't spoil it all, but you're smiling. So I suspect you feel like you got value out of being on the program anyway.
Yes, it's a positive outcome. So you'll have to watch the show to find out.
Exactly. Obviously, wait for those questions coming in from your clients who will come out and ask you about this new product. So that was why we've decided to do the podcast today. I hope it's been helpful. Louise, it's been great to speak to you. And thank you for developing this really fascinating and interesting product, which I'm sure will only become bigger and bigger now with its extra boost to it, to the awareness that hopefully Dragonstem will bring for you.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Louise. Take care. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Hope to see you on a podcast or a webinar very soon. This has been Anthony Chadwick from The Webinar Vet. This has been the UK's number one veterinary podcast. Take care. See you soon. Bye-bye.